the beginning is mentioned and the ending is mentioned. Inna lillah is their beginning of their journey. Wow. Inna ilayhi raji'un is the ending of their journey. Both of these are mentioned. So now Allah has made it clear the view of kufr and the view of a Muslim. Both of them began their journey in the same way. Both of them began their journey in the same way. The difference is in their destination. The view of the kafir is so narrow that the end of his life is death. And the view of a Muslim is so wide that his ending is beyond death, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You see that, my brothers? Understand this. I'm slowly and slowly putting the pieces of the puzzle together so that we can make one big picture out of this. And I want my youngsters just to go along with me today, as this is introduction to what is going to come.
Inshallah.
And hence, when we are going to discuss the journey of man, this whole complete journey of man, we see that the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here makes this statement. And this ayat that I've read for you is where Allah describes this journey. And he says, فَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ, whoever leaves his home, مُهَاجِرًا, migrating towards, إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, towards Allah and His Messenger. Then he says, ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ, and in between, death comes to him. He dies. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then it is on Allah. His reward is with Allah. His reward is with Allah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is forgiving and merciful. So now understand this. Allah is explaining this journey. He is explaining his journey. And the difference between the journey that we take in life and the journey that we take towards Allah. These are two journeys. One is a journey that goes from point A to point B in this life that people take, and everyone is taking. Everyone goes on a journey, and you see that every journey in this world is bound for failure. You see, if I want to go from here to any place, Houston, any place. So my goal is Houston, or my goal is New York, or my goal is Iran, or my goal is India, whatever my goal is. This journey that we take in this world, if this journey ends prematurely, then what happens? That person will be known as a failure. Because he had a goal, and the goal wasn't achieved. You see, everyone has a goal, a worldly goal. They say, I want to be a millionaire. This is a goal you have. Now, if you do not achieve the million, and if you die with 900,000, you are a failure. See, understand this. You are a failure. Why? You haven't reached your goal. If one has a goal, a worldly goal, and if he doesn't reach that goal, then he is called a failure. And in life you see how many people are able to achieve their goals. You can hardly find a few who achieve what they want to do in life. Most people, the majority, the goals they had in life, they never reach. So when a person has a materialistic goal, if the goal of a person is dunya, if he doesn't achieve that, then he's a failure. And Allah is saying that if you want to take that journey, then most probably that journey will end in a failure. But there's only one journey. There's only one journey that if you take, and if you take that journey, then even if it ends prematurely, even if you do not achieve what you set out for. You see that? What is Allah saying? وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. Those who leave their homes, migrating towards Allah and His Messenger. Then He says, ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ. And before they reach Allah, before they reach the Messenger, they die. Before they reach Allah, before they reach the Messenger, they die. What happens? فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah will complete their journey for them. You see that? This is one journey that doesn't have failure written in it. This is one journey that you cannot fail in. If you travel towards Allah and if you die in between, Allah is guaranteeing that He will complete the journey for you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. You see that? This, my brothers, understand this. This is that journey that when we take towards Allah, there is no room for failure in it. This is the reason, if you understood this, then you might understand. And I say you might, it depends on ma'rifat. You might understand what Imam meant when he said, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. When he said, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba, I am successful by the Lord of Kaaba. I am successful, I promise by Allah. When did he say this? When his death came in front of him. When his death came in front of him, that's when you understand that Allah is going to complete the rest of the journey. So you see, these are my brothers. The journey that doesn't have failure is the journey towards Allah. Every other journey, you see, even if you achieve your goal, even then you see, you die in fear and anxiety. Why? Because every other goal and every other achievement that you make, you must leave it at the time of death. You see that? At the time you die, you must leave it. So if you earn your million, you're not going to take it to the grave with you. I mean, you saw that. When death comes, and everyone is a witness to death, you see? And how many of these people have accumulated millions and billions in bank accounts? And when they were killed, or they were shot, and they died, now what happened to them? They didn't take that money with them. They achieved their goals here. But you see, what happens? When a person achieves, even if he achieves his goal in dunya, his death will be in fear and anxiety. At the time he dies, you see that his state is in a state of fear. His life is in a state of anxiety. This is the psyche of a person who has achieved his goals in dunya. His soul is not resting. His soul is not resting. It is not at peace. So when you achieve your goal and do become rich and do have the house and do have the bank balance and you have all these things, but you see what happens at the time of death. If you had achieved your goals, why aren't you happy when you're dying? Why aren't you at peace when you're dying? So those who travel ends at dunya, their death will always be in a state of fear. And those who travel towards Allah, even if everything is taken away from them, even if they lose everything, even if their whole world comes crashing down, when they leave this dunya, they don't say they're nafs-e mutmain. It's Allah who says that they're nafs-e mutmain.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
I mean, just imagine the psychology of a mu'min. Allah has given this psychology. Why? When your goal is Allah, then when death comes to you, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. Not even a normal death. A death that is so crushing. A death that is so desolate. Allah showed that example. And that's where we see that when that mu'min stood up and everything was taken away from him, his children were lost and everything was lost. What is happening? At the time he dies, Allah describes his situation and says, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. The whole world is crashing down. And here we see Imam Hussein is at complete peace. We see that my brother and sister, understand what Iman is and what journeying towards Allah means. That when you go towards Allah, then when you lose everything, still your soul will be at so much peace that the whole world will be destroyed around you, but you will be a mountain of faith. This is when you journey towards Allah. And hence, man's whole life is a journey. Man's whole life is a journey. And this now we must understand. Where is the beginning of that journey? Where is the end of that journey? And that too, there's one apparent journey that we take, and there's another hidden journey that we take. Where do they start? Where do they end? And once you understand that, then you will understand the true meaning and the true greatness of shahadat. Only when you understand where this journey starts and where it finishes, then you will know what shahadat really means. So today, I just want to give a small example. The explanations will come later. A small example of journey towards Allah. You see, in all the rules of Islam, in all the obligations of Islam, there are certain obligations. There's all these obligations that we have, you know that. None of these obligations require travel or journey. We take prayer. When you take this is the first obligation. There is no concept of travel in prayer. In fact, if you travel, it becomes less.
Wow. Subhanallah.
See that? If you travel, it becomes less. Or for example, fasting. If you travel, you can't fast. So that's also there. Or homes and zakat. There's no concept of travel there. Or jihad. Or amal bin ma'ruf, or nahi anil munkar, or any of these obligations. You see, there is no concept of travel or journey in any of these obligations except for one. Except for one. Lillahi ala nasi hijjul bayt man istata'a ilayhi sabila. That it is incumbent upon mankind to visit the house of Allah if they are able to make their way towards it. This is the only obligation where journey is a condition in order to achieve it. Where traveling is a condition in order to accomplish it. No other obligation requires you to journey. Only obligation that requires you to journey, requires you to travel is Hajj. And Hajj is that journey that Allah made wajib on every Muslim, on all of mankind. You see that? He made it wajib. And the reason He made it wajib is because He wanted Hajj and the journey of Hajj to be a role model for the journey of life. You see that? The only obligation that Allah has made journey and traveling a part of it is Hajj. And He made it an example for the journey we must take in real life. So now, when we want to journey to Allah, when we want to journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our real life, Allah says, go learn in Hajj how to make that journey. See that? Now where does that journey start? Where does that journey start? Where does that travel begin? Where does Hajj begin? For example, we leave here from America. We go for Hajj. So now we travel from here and we go all the way to Medina and to Mecca. So does our journey start in our hometown, in our own country, or does that journey start somewhere else? You see, Hajj, the journey of Hajj, does not start in our country. The journey of Hajj starts when you reach Miqat. When you reach the place where you wear ihram. Before that, the journey you take is a preliminary travel required to come there. But the Hajj itself, the journey starts at Miqat. You see this, I'm explaining this to you in a slow way so that you, the youngsters, inshallah, I want them to be with me. When you start the journey, when you come there, this is a ruling of Islam that everyone should know. For example, if a person dies and he hasn't done his Hajj, and if you want to have a na'ib for him, if you want to hire someone to do niyabat, to do Hajj in his place, is it a requirement that he has, if that person was from America, that the na'ib also has to be from America? See, this is a ruling of Islam that we must know. This is a law of Islam. That no, if you go to Miqat, and if you can find someone at Miqat, then you can hire him there in Miqat to do the Hajj. On behalf of that. So that's the reason why you see a lot of people standing there at Miqat with the ihram in their hand. Right, waiting to be hired. Right. Brothers and sisters, if you can come forward, inshallah. A lot more room here, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Shunudiye shahadae karbala dil jo joshi se bulandar salawat
So now, my brothers, understand this. Where I'm trying to bring you to. This Hajj starts at Miqat. That place. Now, what do you do at Miqat? How do you begin this journey? How do you begin this journey? Those who have been to Hajj know this. Right? And if you don't know this, that's bad on me. I should have taught you this there. But those who haven't gone there, inshallah, they will learn. When you go to Miqat, what do you do in Miqat? You wear your ihram, and you start this journey in this way, that you make the niyat, the intention, to go towards Allah, to the house of Allah. Right? You make the intention, and then you say talbiyah. You say what? Labbaik. Allahumma labbaik. You see that? Understand this. You say, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. That Allah, I am at your service. You are answering the call of Allah. I am replying to your call and I am at your service. You are replying to his call and you are saying, I am at your service. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. This is how you began this journey. If you do not say talbiyah, you can make niyat as long as you want. You can make your intention as long as you want, your Hajj will not start. Your Hajj will not start. Just for example, you want to pray. And you make your niyat to pray. I want to make my dhuhr wajib qurbatan ilallah. And you go on repeating that niyat. But you do not say Allahu Akbar, Takbiratul Ahram after that. Until you don't say Takbiratul Ahram, you can make your niyat as long as you want. You haven't entered the state of prayer. See that? You haven't entered the state of prayer. Just like that, if you do not say talbiyah, you can make intention that I'm going to make Hajj as long as you want. You will not enter the journey of Hajj. Understand this. You will not enter the journey of Hajj. You cannot travel in the journey of Hajj. And hence what happens, when you learn this, that the journey of Hajj begins by making your niyat, your intention, and saying labbaik to Allah's call, that Allah called you, and you are saying, Allah, I am answering your call. If we see that this Hajj, which is a journey of 6 miles, this Hajj, which is a journey of 6 miles, this Hajj journey cannot begin by us answering the call of Allah and saying we are at your service, then how is it possible that the journey of our life, that a person lives his whole life and he lives it and he does not say labbaik to the call of Allah. Wow. That life can be a life of a kafir, but it can never be a life of a Muslim. You see this, what is Allah teaching? He's saying to begin a journey. He gives the example of Hajj and says, if you want to begin the journey, then the first thing you must do is say labbaik to Allah's call. If you haven't said labbaik to Allah's call, then the life that we are living cannot be a life of a Muslim. How can it be a life of a Muslim if we do not say labbaik to Allah and say, Allah, we are at your service. And this labbaik is not just a word that we say. What does labbaik mean? Doesn't mean that we go there and say, you know, labbaik, labbaik, labbaik. We can say that as much as we want. But what does it mean to say labbaik? Understand this, what does it mean to say labbaik? When we say labbaik in Hajj, what it means is that Allah, everything that you have made haram for me, I am now promising that I will not do. You see that? Everything and haram that is Allah has made halal and Allah has made forbidden, now I'm saying, Allah, I will not do that. I will abstain from that. That is the meaning of labbaik, to stay away from those things that Allah has made haram. So when in Hajj, when we say labbaik, we are saying that the things that He has made haram in ihram, we are not going to do that. How is it possible that if we live our whole life doing haram, how is it possible that we are saying labbaik? Labbaik means in real life that Allah, we will not do those things that you have made haram on us. If a person does haram, then it means that he hasn't started the journey towards Allah yet. See that? He hasn't started the journey towards Allah. And one thing I want to just say here for my children so that they don't get, a lot of times, adults also, they might get confused over here a little bit. The fact that when we say, that we say labbaik to Allah's call. Tell me, when did Allah call us? Did Allah call us? Did Allah call you? When did Allah call you? See, when we are saying labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. We are answering your call, O Allah, we are answering your call. When did Allah call you? Is there any proof that Allah has called you? And when we look at history, there is no proof. Allah never called you. So who called you? Allah told Ibrahim to call. You see that? Allah told Ibrahim to call. He said, أَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ لِلْحَجِ. Call the people towards Hajj. Call the people to the house of Allah. So Allah told Ibrahim to call. So it's Ibrahim who called the people. So in reality, if you look at it literally, we should be saying, Labbaik ya Ibrahim alabbaik. You see that? Labbaik ya Ibrahim alabbaik. We should be saying that. Ibrahim made the call actually. Allah didn't call, it's Ibrahim who called, and we are answering the call of Ibrahim. So we should be saying, Labbaik Ya Ibrahim Labbaik. But you see, that by saying Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Allah has made us understand. Allah has made us understand that the call of the Prophet is the same as the call of Allah. So everyone understood that when it came to Ibrahim, that when Ibrahim called, everyone knew this is Allah who's calling. So if Ibrahim's call is Allah's call, then how is it not possible for us to understand that Rasulullah's call cannot be Allah's call? So when Rasulullah said, those who are in front, they should come back. Those who are behind, they should catch up. This is the call not of Rasulullah. This is the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat Allah. And hence understand this. This call that we have, this is the call of Ibrahim. Ibrahim called. And until today, people are coming towards Hajj. People are walking. People are riding. In every way, in every fashion, they are coming to the call of Ibrahim, which is the call of Allah. They are coming there. You see, that is one call. There are two calls that we see in the history of mankind that have such a huge effect. One was the call of Ibrahim that I just mentioned to you. One is the call of Ibrahim that has affected the hearts and minds of people, that they come from every nook and corner of the world in order to visit the house of Allah. This is the power of the call that Allah put in Ibrahim's voice. And if we want to see another voice and another call that was made that has so much power, that was the call of Hussein al-Ashura, Hal min Nasir and Yansur. My brothers and sisters, your sitting here is a testimony that that call is being answered. Your presence here is a testimony that that call that Hussein made is being answered. You see this? The call is made by Ibrahim, but the power behind the call is from Allah. He said that He will make this call reach the people. And Hussein made this call when no one was there to listen to him. Just like Ibrahim had told Allah that, Allah, if I call, who's going to listen? There's no one here. Hussein could have said the same thing. He said, all these people, they're not here to listen to me. But it is Allah who was going to make His call reach the people. You see that, my brothers? When the whole world is coming towards Hajj, can you imagine that time when the whole world is coming towards Hajj to answer the call of Allah? When Imam Hussein left Arafat, you know, after you make Ihram and go to Arafat, now it's like, for example, you entered the state to pray, to break it is haram. Just like you say Allahu Akbar and you stand to pray, it's haram to break it. And Imam Hussein, when he went to Hajj and wore his ihram and was in Arafat, and he broke his Hajj and was walking away from Arafat. Imagine this, how little understanding people had that they accused Imam Hussein of being a kafir. They said, this is kufr. Look at him, he is leaving Hajj like this. He is breaking the sanctimony of the house of Allah by doing this. Can you imagine that? How little understanding that they had, and they did not know that in Hajj you are going towards the house of Allah, and when Hussein was leaving and inviting the people, he was taking them towards Allah. That Hussein's invitation was taking the people to Allah Himself. And hence, the example cannot become in the place of reality. Hajj is the example, the reality is Allah. The difference between the house of Allah, whatever the difference there is between the house of Allah and Allah, is the difference between the call of Hajj and the call of Hussein. Understand this, my brothers. Where Imam Hussein was calling, and he was taking his people towards Allah. And today, and tonight that we are here, I want you to imagine what kind of situation that was when Imam Hussein decided to leave Medina. The first night of Muharram is here, and the time has come for us to give condolences. It is time for us to welcome the mother of Hussein, for she has come to see and collect those tears that are shed in the love of Hussein. When Imam Hussein decided to leave Medina, this is his home, and began his journey, the first thing that he did was to go to the grave of his grandfather. He went to the grave of his grandfather, and sitting near the grave, Imam Hussein must have felt so many emotions, must have remembered so many memories of Rasulullah, and how Rasulullah used to deal with him, used to hold him, used to kiss him. Imam Hussein, remembering all those times, now is bidding farewell to his grandfather and saying, "Oh grandfather, I am leaving the town that has welcomed you. I am leaving the town that has welcomed you. And I must go away and fulfill my promise and fulfill my responsibility. My responsibility takes me away from you, but my grandfather, ask Allah to bring me towards you very soon. Life has been hard on me since you have left. My mother had died when I was a child, and my father had left me. My brother Hassan had left me. Now I am left alone. Ya, my grandfather, ask Allah to bring me towards you." Oh, how heartbreaking was the farewell of Hussein to his grandfather. And what Rasulullah had said, even today when you go to the grave of Rasulullah, those who have been there, how hard it is for us to leave Rasulullah. Imagine what Rasulullah might have felt when Hussein is asking him to seek permission from him to leave. Imam Hussein thereafter stood up and bid farewell to his mother. He is bidding farewell to his mother and saying, "Mother, how long has it been since you have left me? I was a child when you left me. How many days have gone by since I used to remember you? And my love for you was unfulfilled as you were not there. Oh my mother, pray that I come back to you soon so that I can be in the arms of my mother." How many children had their mother when they were growing up? Hussein did not have a mother that he can go and put his head on. And now Hussein is looking at the grave of his mother and saying, "My mother, please make dua that I come to you. How long has it been since this head had not rested on your lap?" Oh, my God. Hussein, Hussein after that Imam Hussein left the graveyard, he came to the home, he saw Abbas and said, Abbas, tell my Ahlul Bayt to get ready, let ask them to pack, we are beginning our journey begins here, today is the beginning of our journey. So when Abbas gave that order, everyone started to pack, everyone was getting ready, the whole household, we knew what was coming in front of them. They had heard these stories in their family. They knew what was going to happen. It's as if everyone understood the movement that is happening. Then we see Muhammad Hanafiya comes to Imam Hussein and says, Hussein, if you have to go, this is your fight. Why are you taking these children? Why are you taking your children with you? Ali Asghar is just an infant. Sakina is just a child. The travel that lies in front of you, the journey that is in front of you, it will be too hard for them. How can Imam Hussein explain to Muhammad Hanafiya that, my brother, you don't understand this movement that I'm starting, this journey I'm taking, the image of this journey and the greatest proof and my greatest offering will be Ali Asghar and Sakina. Ali Asghar and Sakina would be the image of this journey. People will know the truth, my truth, through these two children of mine. Hajrakumullah. You know, all the children were getting ready. Everyone was getting ready. But there was a particular command of Hussein that left everyone so perturbed that they were feeling anxious, because there was one command of Hussein. He said, everyone must get ready except for one. Except for one. Everyone will come with me, but my Fatima al-Sughra, she will not be accompanying me. She will not be with me. When everyone heard that they were getting ready, Fatima al-Sughra looking at everyone, and everyone, she was seeing everyone getting ready, and they were going to go with Hussein, they're going to go together, but she was going to be left behind, she was going to be left all alone. Now you see that Fatima al-Sughra started to go to her mother, she went to the other ones in the house, she was looking at them, pleading with them, go and ask my father to take me, go and ask my father to take me. No one wanted to face Hussein. She knew that the only one that my father would listen to is my aunt Zab. So let me... He said, I will go to my aunt Zainab. She pleaded her case. She pleaded her case and said, my aunt, my father listens to you. And you know if I'm left behind, I'll be all alone. Every day of my life will be a death for me, waiting for you to come back. How many times will this heart be broken? Every evening when I'm in you do not come back, this heart will be broken. My mother, my aunt, please go plead my case to my father Hussein. Take my case to him so that he takes me with you. Or at least ask him, why isn't he taking me? So when Zainab saw the tears in the eyes of Fatima al-Sughra, when she saw that she was so anxious, she went to Hussein and she said, brother, why is it? What is wrong with Fatima al-Sughra? What wrong has she done that you're not taking her with you? May Allah reward you for your tears. May Allah reward you for your tears. Ya Fatima, we are here to give condolence to you for the... When Zainab pled the case in front of Hussein, when the case in front of Hussein and say, what wrong has Fatima Sughra done that you're not taking her with you? Hussein, how can he not say that? Hussein's heart was broken many times, my brothers and sisters. This heart of Hussein is so broad. This heart of Hussein is so great. It has taken many, many hardships and many tribulations, but this heart was meant to be a leader. This heart was the heart of the Imam. When Imam Hussein heard this, he said, my sister, you know that my children are the memory of my elders. My children are the memory of my elders. Each of my child is a memory of one of my elders. My sister, listen to this, my brother and sister. I'm ending here, and you can give your fursa and condolences to Fatima. I'm ending here. Hussein had said, Hussein told Zainab, my children are the memory of my elders. Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar is the replica of my grandfather, Rasulullah. Fatima Kubra is the look-alike of my father, Ali. And Zainab, Fatima Sughra is the picture of my mother Fatima. And Zainab, I can bear any torture, I can bear any hardship, but tell me Zainab, how can I see the picture of my mother walking through the streets of Kufa? الذين خلوا أي منقلب ينقلبه فاطمة حسين.
Brothers, if you can form straight rows so that we can put give